Welcome to Grace Lutheran Church of Erhard, Minnesota. We're so happy to have you join us today for this Sunday, June 21st, time of worship. We want to invite you back next Sunday, June 28th, at 10 a.m. for our outdoor worship on the north side of the church. Park in the back of the church by the propane tank. Bring a lawn chair, or we'll have some chairs available if you need them. If you wish to stay in your car, we'll have a car section provided for you so you can stay in your car and still be a part of the service. If it rains, we're going to come into the sanctuary and the fellowship hall, spread out, and then we will have our time of worship, except there will not be any singing if we come inside, not any congregational singing anyway. So today we continue to anchor ourselves in the new reality that our risen Lord Jesus Christ has delivered to us, in the forgiveness of all of our sins and his presence with us in our journey on life. Today we also want to acknowledge Father's Day, and we want to say a special prayer for all those dads out there. So let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, today we give thanks for all earthly fathers who gave and who now give of their love, labor, and lives to provide for their families. Grant them wisdom, O Lord, to be instruments of your fatherly goodness and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning, friends. Please join us as we sing our opening hymn, Beautiful Savior.
Beautiful Savior, Lord of the nation. Our word of worship today is found in the book of Psalm 91, verses 1 through 10. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. Let us pray. O Lord, comforter of the sorrowing and strength of the weak, hear our prayers for all who are suffering during this time of turmoil and distress, that whatever their needs, they may look to you in faith, receiving and knowing your help and comfort. Amen. Please join us in singing 10,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord.
Years and then for
Thank you, Amy and Dacia. We do have reasons to praise. And the primary one is all about what we're going to do now. We're going to stand before God openly and honestly and confess our sins to Him and receive His mercy and grace. What a beautiful thing it is for God to embrace us with His forgiveness and His mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God's promise to us sinners is clear from the book of 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's claim God's beautiful promise right now together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith, the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and God's peace be with each and every one of you.
The first reading for today is found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, verses 7 through 13, Jeremiah's complaint. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering. Terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them. for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. The second reading for today is found in the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 15 through 23, Slaves to Righteousness. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Do you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourself as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray for guidance. O Lord, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet not trod, and through perils still unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For our society, grant, O Lord God, that your holy and life-giving spirit may move every heart in the midst of our society's current unrest. May the barriers which divide us crumble, may our suspicions disappear and hatred cease, and that with our divisions healed, we might live in justice and peace for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For help in the pandemic, keep watch, dear Lord, over those who work or watch or weep, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ, give rest to the weary, bless the dying, soothe the suffering, pity the afflicted, and be our ever-present help in trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the persecuted church, we pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church, who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Thank you, Phil. There's a theme running through the scriptures for this third Sunday after Pentecost. We heard Jeremiah, first of all, talk about confessing God, confessing the Lord with his mouth, and experiencing some trouble because of it. And then the Apostle Paul calling us to confess Christ by the way we live. And so today we're going to hear our Lord in the gospel text talk about confessing him. But before we get there, kids, this is your time. So if you want to come a little closer to the screen, we'll have a message for you. Well, good to see you, kids. I hope your summer is going along well, that you're able to enjoy being outside and and maybe get to the lake and maybe do a little fishing and swimming, everything that we love in Minnesota about summer. And of course, we know that in Minnesota, we have a whole range of things, wildlife and opportunities. And one particular animal that we have in Minnesota and even around this area are bears. Black bears, to be specific. Now, people generally say we shouldn't be afraid of black bears, but when you run into one out in the woods, that's a little different story. It's a bear. It's big. And so bears can be scary. And of course, when we think about maybe going out west and hiking in Colorado or Montana, we might run into a grizzly bear, and they're a whole other kind of bear. They are dangerous. Well, I've got a bear today. And I don't mean to scare you, but here he is. Okay? Are you scared? Of course not. This is just a stuffed bear, and this is actually Pooh Bear. This is Winnie the Pooh. And we know, of course, Winnie the Pooh is not very scary at all. Well, this is a bear, but it's not a scary bear, is it? And I want to remind you today that Jesus is going to teach us about not being scared of those who maybe don't like us because we confess him. Jesus is going to say, don't be afraid of those who can only hurt your body and not hurt your soul. And we know that we can confess Jesus and not be afraid of others because Jesus has died on this cross for our sins. And because of that, we have eternal life. So Jesus says, don't be afraid of those who can hurt your body. You should respect and be afraid of losing your soul. And so Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we can have security and forgiveness and eternal life. And we thank him for that. And so that takes our fear away of confessing Jesus because people really can't hurt us. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've healed us for all eternity. And because of that, we know that even if we die, you have a blessed future for us that will last for all eternity. So grant us faith, Lord, to be willing to confess you before others. We ask this in your wonderful name. Amen. Well, the title of today's message, based on the gospel text for this third Sunday of Pentecost, Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 33. The title is Taking the Fear Out of Confessing Christ, and words of our Lord. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to us now from your word. Open our hearts and enlarge our faith. We ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. In April of 1933, Adolf Hitler, in an attempt to swing the Church of Germany to his agenda, appointed Ludwig Mueller as his advisor in church affairs and offered him as candidate for the position of national bishop. Mueller was supportive of the German Christian movement, a movement which espoused the Nazi Party's view of Christianity, which meant an open denial of sin and depravity as well as humility, stressing instead nationalism and the saving character of the German state. The church, as far as the Nazi Party was concerned, was to march alongside the government on its way to an earthly paradise. The Christ of this twisted version of the Christian faith was not the humble and crucified Christ, but a warlike and kingly Christ, and of course, walked right alongside of the Führer himself. With Mueller now in power, he quickly enforced sweeping changes in the state church that would benefit Hitler's totalitarianism and racist agenda where the Third Reich was co-equal with the church. Those who refused to adopt the Nazi version of Christianity and chose instead the biblical Christ became known as the Confessing Church. The Confessing Church took this name because its members pledged themselves to affirm the great historic confessions of the church, which were firmly grounded and rooted in God's Word alone. In May of 1934, a group from the Confessing Church made up of Reformed and Lutheran churches, met in the German town of Barmen and officially accepted what's become known as the Barmen Declaration, which rejected the false doctrines of Nazi Christianity and recalled the churches of Germany to the central truths of the Bible and the historic church confessions. The theologians who signed the Barmen Declaration recognized that the error of the Nazi version of Christianity was in the false belief that God was revealing himself through events, powers, figures, and experiences of German culture, rather than through God's revelation of himself in the scriptures. A revelation that focused on Jesus Christ as humanity's savior from sin and death, not one who supported world domination. The Barmen Declaration stood on the principle that Jesus Christ could not be co-opted by, used in the service of, or be remade in the image of false religious and political ideologies created by human beings. The Barmen Declaration confessed the reality and need for God's grace for all sinners and refused to allow it to be reinterpreted and replaced by ideas and programs that came out of human self-interest. In these ways, the Barmen Declaration speaks not only to the times and crisis of the church in Nazi Germany, but it speaks throughout history, especially in our time and in our place. Today, from our gospel text, Jesus Christ calls us to confess him, the real Jesus, and not some soft Jesus who can be shaped and molded to a human ideology or agenda. The real Jesus calls us to confess him as Savior, who out of pure mercy died on the cross to save us from our sins, because we could not save ourselves. This is not easy in a culture like ours, and at times it seems as if it's a steep mountain to climb. But Jesus himself will teach us today that because of who he is and because of what the world is not, we need not to fear to confess him. The words of our Lord from Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 through 33. Jesus said, "A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." The words of our Lord. Well, our Lord gives us some pointers here on taking the fear out of confessing him. The first of these I would label as avoiding unrealistic expectations. This is what Jesus told us in verse 24 when he said, "A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master." We should remember that even Jesus, the Son of God, was not accepted by everyone, but allowed himself to be rejected and even to suffer at the hands of those who rejected him. Jesus asks that we will be willing to experience rejection for his name's sake. In doing so, we should recognize that he came voluntarily and suffered for us. Without his suffering, we could not survive an encounter with the living and holy God. Yet because he suffered for us, we have the privilege and gift of the Father's presence and friendship. And that's much more than what the world can offer to us. When we are mistreated by others for bearing witness to the value of knowing Christ, we are actually worshiping Him. We are demonstrating that we value Him more than the approval of the world. Yet as we do this, we will still love those who disapprove of our love for Jesus, because that's the way Jesus loved us. He loved us unconditionally. This love is meant for unworthy sinners, and it is meant to be reflected by us to others as we bask in its radiance. This cannot be found within us, but only comes as we look to our Master Jesus. And we must remember that when we confess Christ, it's the Holy Spirit's work then to create faith. We're just called to confess Him. Well, the second thing we want to remember that will take the fear out of confessing Christ is to avoid a defeated attitude. This is what Jesus tells us in verse 26. So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. We should remember that the final victory of Jesus has already been won. One day He will reveal Himself, and darkness and evil will melt away before His presence. Our faith in Him will be found to be visibly true. Our fear of rejection and being thought of as fools should be tempered by the realization that there is going to be a day when everything will be revealed and our faith will be vindicated. The next time that Jesus comes to our world visibly, He will not be cloaked in humility and poverty, but He will stand in the fullness of His majesty and power as Almighty God. Our view of this future becomes our map as we chart our course through life, because we know that what may not be visible now will be completely visible one day. His triumph is certain, and therefore so is ours. The third thing we want to remember that takes the fear out of confessing Christ is to avoid worldly values. This is what Jesus told us, to not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? So don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. We should always be ready to compare who God is and what He can do with who people are and what they cannot do. And that's what our Lord is calling us to do here. To not get sucked into worldly values. Those who would persecute witness of Christ only have the power to harm the physical body and nothing more. They do not have the power of eternity. Jesus is here confronting a false set of values. Values based on the notion that our visible and physical world and its here and now philosophy and its urgency are all that matters. It's a false set of values that points us to factors of only human, only here and now. These values are unable to see what is of far greater value, eternal life with God. So because of who Christ is, we are free to live against the grain of our culture because we see something far more valuable. We see eternity as our gift and as our destiny. The final point, and the most important point, that takes the fear out of confessing Christ is to cling to the fact that Jesus confesses you. Remember what Jesus said in verse 32, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven." My confession of Jesus before mortal man pales in comparison to Jesus' confession of me, a sinner, before an all-holy God. Jesus is my Savior. He is my advocate. He has taken my sins from me. and he speaks my name into the Father's ear. So, to conclude, confess Christ as you help the hungry and hurt people. Confess Christ as you love people that you may not even like, because that's the way he loved you. Confess Christ as you forgive others as you have been forgiven. Confess Christ as you tell others of what Christ has done for you. And confess Christ as you live in peace, the peace he has made for you, between you and God and between you and others. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you've called us to live as the salt of the earth. Salt preserves and fends off decay. Salt brings flavor and enhances all other flavors. And salt only works when it's out of the salt shaker. Come, Holy Spirit, come. We need you to stir our hearts. Only you are powerful enough to resalt the desalted, to bring us back to gospel sanity, to restore in us the joy of God's salvation, to reengage the disengaged with God's plan for our communities, cities, and nations. How we praise you that our cry is your pleasure. Before we ask, you know our need. Do exceedingly beyond all we ask and can imagine. We pray gratefully in Jesus' merciful and mighty name. Amen and amen.
Our closing song today is called Broken Vessels or Amazing Grace. All these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken, I've been set free. I've been set free. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now am found, but blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see. I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to our failure, you take our weakness, you set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see your life in me. Oh, amazing. Oh, I once was lost. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was found, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. Oh, I can see you now. Oh, I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down. You're raising up the broken to life.
Thank you, Amy. We hope today that you've been blessed as you've taken this service in, and we want to invite you back next Sunday to our outdoor worship on the north side of the church here. Bring some lawn chairs. We'll park you in the car if you want to stay in the car. It'll be a great time. That's next Sunday at 10 a.m. at Grace. And, of course, we'll be doing a video of that, so that will be online for you, too, if you can't make it here. Let us pray. Lord God, we are aware that there are so many needs out there, and I pray for each person now that is watching this service at this moment. Lord, be with them. Grant them the assurance of your presence and your love with them. Lord, remind them of the cross, their forgiveness, and your love and companionship for them. Lord, we lift up all those who are suffering from this time of turmoil, whether it be from the virus itself or from economic trouble because of shutdowns and job losses. Lord, there's so much turmoil in our society right now. So, Lord, we pray for your healing, physical healing and racial healing and emotional healing and economic healing. Lord, heal our land. We ask this in Jesus' name. And we pray now the prayer that you yourself have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God's peace to you, and receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious God. Thanks be to God.